To get the forum started, the idea with a classic Holden forum is that you are the content. You all sitting here are the content of this forum. The folks sitting up here will kick us off with some ideas, with some experience, with some knowledge, and then once it's kicked off, after about 15 minutes, it's open for discussion. And in any kind of a discussion like this, we hope there will be controversy, we cherish difference, we like to hear one another disagree, because we think then we're really being honest and we're bringing our best thinking as Christians into this space and sharing ideas. We can't get anywhere if we all just hear our neighbor say something that we don't agree with and then we don't say anything because we don't want to be not nice or something like that. So let's agree that we can be not nice tonight in the sense of disagreeing with one another, which of course does not mean you're disagreeing with, you're putting down the person. It just means that you have a different idea. I'm hoping that we'll have an additional person sitting in that chair, but let me tell you who the panelists will be with the possible addition of that person. Jorge Mejia.
Mejia.
Jorge Calix.
Calix.
Calix. You can tell I can't say speak Spanish. Miguel Castro. Rocio Robles. Barbara Lund. And possibly Katie Hogan. And Bob Ekblad. Sorry. Bob Ekblad. Variety of expertise here is great. There are three gentlemen from Honduras, Bob Ekblad, who does work with a variety of international people who live in the United States now. Rocio, who has come from Mexico and who works in the United States and who understands that relationship. Barbara Lund, who works for the Division for Global Mission for the ELCA and understands the globalness of our mission work in good ways. Katie Hogan, who will be joining us on teaching staff next week, we hope will be joining us tonight. And she is an employer of people who come from the South to Chicago. And she has both for 25 years employed a lot of people who've come up from Central America and Mexico, and she's gone to Central America and Mexico and visited with their families there, so she has a kind of strong relationship and thinks about what it means to be an employer of such people. So I guess there are two different questions in this forum. One is there a real draw to the North, which I think Barbara has a variety of experiences with, that some of which would argue that there is not a draw to the North from every country. And then there's certainly a lot of evidence that there is a draw to the wealth and the values and all the stuff. I mean, if, when you've been in China recently or been in Mexico, you certainly see evidence that the United States stuff is everywhere in the globe. And it's sickening in a sense, but it means that there's something about our culture that is appealing, even though we are distressed by that, maybe. So then we could get to the question of if the American dream is worth it. Is it the right dream for us, for anybody? I think we'll start with Bob Ekblad and ask him to organize the next part of this.
Okay. Well, I've invited people from the South to speak first about the images that they have of life in the North, and the difficulties and struggles that push them to leave, you know, the fields that they're working in or their cities to come north. So I'd like to invite Miguel Castro to begin by talking about some of the images of the North in his village.
Sí, buenas noches a todos.
Good evening to everybody.
Y pues en esta noche yo quiero hablarle respecto al la gente que vive en mi pueblo.
This evening I want to speak to you about the people who live in my town.
Se escucha con frecuencia.
We hear quite often.
Que están haciendo viajes para acá, para los Estados Unidos.
From people who are making trips to the United States.
Algunos con éxito.
Some make it.
Otros fracasan en el camino.
Others fail on the way up.
Por ejemplo, yo tengo un hermano que venía rumbo acá.
For instance, I have a brother that came on his way here.
Pero llegó hasta cierta parte de México.
But he only got to a certain place in
Mexico.
Y ahí
nomás lo regresaron.
And then they deported him back.
Que se escucha con... Porque creen que acá se gana con facilidad el dólar o...
We hear that up here it, you
can earn very quickly money. Porque solo te venía a recoger. Tienen una imagen...
That you can just practically pick the dollars.
Que con mucha facilidad se obtiene ese precioso moneda.
There's an image that it's much easier to get this precious money.
Pero no se ponen a pensar los riesgos que se corren en el camino.
People don't think about the risks that they take in the way, on the way.
Porque hace dos meses, tres semanas...
Because two months and three weeks ago, about...
murieron seis personas
six people died
en México.
In Mexico.
Y fueron llevados a un pueblo de Honduras.
And they were taken
los
back,
cadáveres,
the bodies were taken back to a village in Honduras.
Decían que lo encontraron los rieles, que el tren los había matado.
They said that they were
pero
found
después descubrieron
that
they'd been killed by the train. Perforaciones de bala.
But then they found that they had been shot. They had perforations from
otras personas.
Weapons.
No se sabe absolutamente nada de ellos. Salieron un día y no se sabe.
Other people, they leave one day and then we never hear from them again.
Y lo más triste es que vendieron sus tierras,
and
sus animales.
Thing is they sold their lands and their animals.
Y dejan pendiente a su esposa que
and
muy
their wife
pronto
is waiting,
van a estar mandando
money
dólares
will be sent.
De aquí
dollars will be sent
para
from
allá.
Up here down there.
Y es una ilusión.
And this is an illusion.
¿Por qué digo que es una ilusión?
Why do I say it's an illusion?
Porque yo puedo, hemos podido observar este tiempo que hemos estado ahí en el campo de Sacuma.
Here, we've been living in a migrant labor camp, Sacuma camp.
Hay gente que no regresa a su país.
There are many people that don't ever return to their country.
Porque no tiene el recurso necesario para poder regresar.
Because they don't have the money available to be able to return.
Mucha gente joven llega ahí.
Many young people arrive in up here.
A nosotros, él y yo estamos en un campo, él y el otro
and
están
they came
en otro
to us,
campo.
The two of us are in one micro camp and,
son las 11,
and the other are in another micro camp.
Son las 11 de la noche.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
Y están tocando la puerta
and
ahí.
They're knocking on the door.
Por favor,
please,
don Miguel.
Mr. Miguel.
Necesito un consejo, ayúdeme,
I
tengo
need
este
advice.
Problema.
Help me, I have this problem.
Porque muchos jóvenes necesitan el apoyo,
many young people,
el respaldo
help, support,
de sus padres
parents,
o de un pastor,
pastor
o de una persona
somebody,
que tenga un corazón sensible de amor para
love,
que pueda
to be able to help
acogerlos
them.
Como la
welcome
gallina acoge los
like
pollitos.
A chicken would welcome the little baby.
He podido sentir la mano de Dios ahí
I've been able to feel
cuando llegan personas ahí, por favor,
when
ayúdenme.
People come and they ask,
tengo problemas.
I have a problem.
No sé qué decisión tomar.
I don't know what decision
si está la decisión en la droga o en el alcohol o en qué cosa. Ayúdenme, por
help
favor.
Me,
entonces, ahí le cito Salmo
46:1
que dice Dios es nuestro
God
amparo, nuestra fortaleza,
support,
nuestro pronto auxilio en las tribulaciones.
And tribulations.
Eche todas sus cargas sobre Él, porque Él nos sustentará
because
y
God
no deja caído al justo para siempre.
God doesn't let the righteous fall forever.
El tiempo es poco.
The time is short.
Siento estar separado de mi familia.
I feel like I'm the separation.
Pero he podido compartir la palabra de Dios con personas sedientas.
But
porque
I've been
aquí
able to share the word
Unidos,
of God with people who are thirsty.
Yo sé que hay muchos pastores.
Because here in the United States, I know
pero
there are
muchas,
many, many pastors.
Miles de personas perdidas en el mundo en la drogadicción, perdidas en el alcoholismo, mientras los dos padres trabajan.
Because the two
padre
parents
y madre
are working.
Trabajan, los hijos abandonados, sin que nada.
And there's nobody to protect them.
Sí. Muy buenas noches a todos.
Good evening to everyone.
Voy a hablar en la parte de la emigración.
I'm going to talk a little bit about migration from my country towards the north.
El motivo de la migración.
The reason for the migration.
De nuestro país.
From our country.
Es por la causa.
It's because of the reason.
Económica.
For economic reasons.
Salarios muy bajos.
Salaries are very low.
Pocas fuentes de trabajo.
Very few jobs.
Y muchas personas sienten ese deseo de la superación.
And many people feel a great desire to improve.
Y no encuentran otra alternativa.
And they don't find any other alternative.
Que de mirar
but to
hacia el norte.
Look towards the north.
Porque se han imaginado de que aquí.
Because we might imagine that up here
se ganan dólares.
There's dollars.
Y que se puede superar.
And that we can improve our economic situation.
Y que a veces. Muchas veces
and many times
miramos a muchas personas,
we see many people
en un su carro allá,
in their car
decimos,
and we think
¿verdad? Algún día,
maybe someday
pero la única
maybe someday I'll be able to have a car
al norte
but the only way to do that would be to get to the, go to the north to be able to get dollars so that I could get a car.
Más sin saber, va,
maybe without knowing
que las consecuencias,
the consequences of that.
Es el riesgo que se corre
the consequences would be the risk in the, this long travel to the north.
Porque a veces nunca va a encontrar lo que él desea.
Because sometimes you might never find what you really desire.
Sino que tal vez viene a encontrar la muerte.
But you might find death.
Solamente.
That's all.
Sí. Bueno, vamos a hablar un poco de una región de Honduras.
I'm going to talk a little bit about a region in Honduras
que queda en el departamento de Francisco Morazán.
It's in the department of Francisco Morazán.
Donde está nuestra capital, Tegucigalpa.
It's where our capital is, Tegucigalpa.
Hay unos tres pueblos.
There are three towns
cercanos a mi pueblo.
They're close to my town.
Que allí, digamos un 60%
there are about 60% of the
de la población
of the population
se viene para el norte.
Have come to the north.
Se ha creado una idea
they have created in their minds
desde
an idea
desde los niños
from when they were little kids
que aquí
that here
es un paraíso.
There's a paradise.
Desde que van creciendo ya llevan la idea, ¿no?
When they're growing up, they have that idea.
Hay unos que se llenan de 14 años.
Some come when they're 14, 13 years old.
Y esos pues son objeto de respetos. Son aprovechados
and these people are
por aquellas personas
of, they're disrespected,
que
they're taken advantage of by people who sell drugs.
El niño lo hace más fácil.
Because children are able to sell it much easier.
Sí. Hemos podido observar
we've been able to
que la mayoría de esa gente
that the majority of these people
se dedica acá a vender drogas.
Dedicate themselves to selling drugs.
Porque es increíble que en tres meses o seis meses
because it's incredible in 3 to 6 months
o un año
or even maybe a year
compre
they're able to buy
una hacienda o
maybe
una
a cattle ranch
es increíble
one person cars
carros de último modelo
the nicest newest cars
es increíble
it's incredible
no es posible nosotros hoy que estamos acá
it's not possible for us here being
conocemos la realidad
here.
De las cosas
¿cómo?
Hoy que estamos nosotros acá
now that we're here we're able to see the reality of
que no es
things
posible.
Here in the north. It's not possible to make that kind of money.
Ellos están, pues, tengo información que ellos están en algunos sectores de aquí, Estados Unidos y otros en Canadá.
I have information that they're sí. In certain regions here in the United States and then others in Canada.
Y trabajan organizados.
And they are very sí. Working in an organized manner.
Ellos trabajan en trabajos legales hay veces.
They work sometimes in legal ways.
Pero siempre tienen el negocio.
But they always have the business of
el negocio ilegal.
Illegal business.
Pero hay una cosa. But se van con dinero.
But they go with money.
Ellos se acostumbraron a una vida fácil.
They become used to an easy life of making easy money.
En Honduras no es fácil mantener un capital.
In Honduras, it's very difficult to maintain
porque
capital.
Solo se gasta, pero
and you don't improve.
Gastan su dinero.
They spend their money.
Tal vez invierten un poco.
Maybe they invest a little bit of it.
Pero miran que ese dinero va.
But they see that money
para abajo, ¿no?
Goes lower and lower, less and less the capital. This is the capital they brought
entonces,
from selling drugs.
Vuelven al norte.
So they come back to the north.
y agarran un vicio.
And they have a vice like
ya, ya es difícil que regresan.
And it's hard for them to ever return.
A vivir, digamos, permanentemente en Honduras.
To live permanently in Honduras.
Hasta más se dice que hay personas que se meten a las drogas y no les permiten retirarse del negocio.
Some people who get involved in selling drugs, they're not ever allowed to get out of that business.
Hasta son buscadas después.
Some are sought after afterwards.
Para matarla,
to, be, to kill them.
Sí. Eso se sabe en Honduras.
This we know about in Honduras.
Entonces, ese es el problema mayor.
This is one of the greatest problems. Sí.
Porque sabemos que legalmente no se hace dinero acá.
Because we know that porque legally you don't make that kind of money here.
Se gana, pero también se gasta.
Because you make money here, but you also spend a lot.
Y el joven,
and young person,
lo absorbe. Este, aquí es diferente. Allá,
they're absorbed by
it. Allá no hay, ¿cómo se llama el sistema? Es diferente.
In Honduras, the system's different.
Pues allá no hay, no existe este medio aquí, porque aquí es realmente es. Es admirable.
There's no way to make money like here. Here it's admirable.
Se vive mejor si hay, si hay dinero para vivir.
Here there's money.
Allá
to
no.
But there there's
entonces,
not.
Ellos se adaptan a este.
So they get used to this life.
Pero se sobrepasan de medidas.
But they go beyond the norms.
Ellos se dedican a todo.
They
a
dedicate themselves vicios. To everything, all the vices.
Entonces, ya el que viene aquí
so the person that comes
y regresa a Honduras,
and
ya
they return
no
to Honduras, it's not the same person.
Solamente.
That's all. And this is just one group of people that he's talking about, okay? Who are going up to Vancouver, BC to sell drugs. Which is mainly run, most of the drugs that are dealt in Vancouver right now are by Hondurans.
Otro punto de vista, bueno, pues de una mexicana.
Another point of view from a Mexican.
Soy mexicana, pero no puedo generalizar lo que es.
I am a Mexican, but I can't generalize about what every Mexican is about here, about as far as this goes.
La gente que más encuentra aquí en Estados Unidos
the people
es
that
de
we
la
find
México,
most are from people from the city of Mexico and to the north.
Habemos muy pocos veracruzanos.
We see very few people from Veracruz, which is her town.
Y de los estados del sur, Oaxaca, de Oaxaca hay mucha gente.
And from the southern states of Mexico, there are many people from the state of Oaxaca.
Es curioso que para los mexicanos de Oaxaca,
it's curious that for the Mexicans from Oaxaca,
sí vale la pena venir a los Estados Unidos.
Yes, it is worth it for them to come to the United States.
Ellos vienen,
they come,
vienen por grupos.
They come in groups.
Viven por grupos.
They live in groups.
Ganan dinero.
Make money.
Se van a México a invertir su dinero.
They return to Mexico to invest all their money.
Estos son los oaxaqueños.
These are the Oaxacans.
Esa es la gente que viene decidida a hacer dinero.
They come here decided to make money
y llevárselo a
and
México.
To take the money to Mexico.
La mayor parte de los oaxaqueños,
the majority of the Oaxacan people
que yo conozco,
that I know,
tienen tierra,
land,
tienen casa,
they have a house.
Muchos tienen su camioneta,
many
o
have
su carro
their truck
en,
or a
allá.
Car. There,
en su pueblo.
In the village.
Donde más problemas yo he notado,
where I've seen the most problems,
de los estados de la Ciudad de México,
is from some of the people that live in the city of Mexico and all the other northern states.
Michoacán,
Jalisco.
Estados del norte.
The northern states.
La gente viene a quedarse.
People come here to stay.
Cuando viene, esa gente casi siempre tiende a quedarse.
When they come, they,
viene detrás,
they plan to stay.
No solo del dinero,
they
de
come
los
looking
dólares,
for not just dollars.
Viene detrás de ese supuesto sueño
they
americano.
Come also after the American dream.
Mucha gente trata de alcanzarlo.
Many come, people come and try to obtain the American dream.
Yo he conocido a muchas parejas que han logrado, si se trata de cosas materiales, lo han logrado.
I've known many couples who, when it comes to material benefits, they have achieved what they've
una
come
casa,
for. House,
un carro nuevo,
a new car.
Pero la verdad es que a veces el precio es demasiado.
But the truth is, the price that they have to pay for that is too high.
Generalmente tienen que trabajar los dos.
Generally, both mother and
si
father have
familia.
To work if it's a family.
Los hijos siempre quedan solos.
The children are always left alone.
Criándose solos.
Raising themselves by themselves.
Tienen que trabajar muy duro para
conseguir. People have to work very, very hard to obtain what they want.
Tienen que trabajar que 8 tal vez, 9,
8, 9
o 12 horas.
Or 12 hours.
Tengo yo trabajo en un lugar donde se trabaja 12 horas diarias.
I work in a place where we work 12 hours a day.
Viernes 9 horas el sábado.
From Monday through Friday, 12 hours a day and then 9 hours on Saturday.
Hay parejas ahí que
there are couples that work there. They work 12 hours a day.
Con jóvenes que están creciendo,
with kids
con
that are growing up, with adolescents.
Que se quedan solos.
Who are left alone in the house.
Las consecuencias son
the consequences
graves.
Are very grave.
Jovencitas,
little girls, young girls,
adolescent girls, embarazadas,
becoming pregnant.
Dos hijas de trabajadores de ahí están embarazadas, tienen 13 años.
Two of the workers' daughters who are 13 years old are pregnant.
Otras amistades.
Other friends that are not
desde
good.
Los 13 años andan en drogas.
Some kids who are 13 years old, they're already involved in drugs.
Son las, el pago de ese sueño americano.
The pay of this American dream, the price of this American dream is this. Yeah. In my work as a chaplain of Skagit County Jail, I have a Bible study twice a week with all the inmates who are from, it's kind of a circle like this actually, of people, usually anywhere from 10 to 20 people who show up, and they're almost all of them immigrants from Mexico. And many of them are there because they came hoping to send money back, and then they realized how difficult it was on minimum wage to make the kind of money that they wanted to be able to send money back to their families. They're oftentimes firstborn sons. I have a lot of firstborn sons in my Bible study who came to sort of with this responsible attitude of wanting to make as much money as possible to help their parents, to help their grandparents, to help other brothers and sisters. They were sending money back. But they realized, hey, making $5 an hour, when there's work, and working these long hours, and then having these heavy expenses of rent and, a car. Most people don't get insurance because it's just too expensive to get insurance. And a lot of people don't get driver's licenses because, they come and they don't know Spanish, or they don't know English, and they don't know how the system works, and they're undocumented, and they're afraid to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles or Department of Licensing. So they're driving around with no license, no insurance, and then they get stopped for some ticket, and then they have a $900 fine. And they don't know how to go to the courts. And so this is what our ministry does. We reach out to a lot of these people come to us, say, what do? I have a $900 fine. How do I get my license? And we help people get their licenses. But anyway, people end up encountering all of these huge difficulties with the legal system, with employers that are unfair, with just expenses. And so some of them, there's a lot of recruiting that goes on to sell drugs, heroin, cocaine, and it's really tempting. People are tempted all the time. A lot of people, they end up, when they're looking for a place to rent, maybe there's five or six guys living in an apartment, and they say, share the rent with us. It's only $50 a month or $75 a month. So the person will go into that house, and it just so happens that one or two of the people in the house are selling drugs. So the narcotics police arrive, and the FBI or whatever, they show up and they bust the whole house. And everybody in the house is taken, is thrown in jail. So I have people in my Bible studies that have never sold drugs, but are being sent to prison for delivery of a controlled substance because they were in a place that was dealing drugs. And of course, then I deal with others that were tempted and began to sell drugs. I've dealt with many people who have sold drugs once, and the first time they sold it was to an undercover narcotics agent. And they went to prison for 24 months or 24 to 36 months. And I deal with many of those people when they go through the legal, the courts, and then when they come back. So I see the heavy cost in terms of these young people and the incredible crisis that they're in when they end up in jail. And they're just beating their breasts and just weeping. And they're just anguishing over the heavy costs of just an error that they made. So anyway, I guess I see the positive. I see people making it, but I see the cost in terms of the legal system. And that's the part of this discussion that I guess I'll end.
Thank you. Then I think we'll turn to Katie Hogan next, who is an employer in the North.
Talk about a different point of view. I speak as a U.S. citizen. born and raised in Chicago, knowing Mexico first as a home of study when I was in college, and a place that I stayed with a family and studied the language and radical intellectual thought, if you will, with Ivan Illich and the other days. And knowing South America further via extensive travel and study in the early 70s. By the time I started a restaurant in 1976, I knew all about Central America and U.S. government policies that were putting money in the hands of people supposedly for aid, and which money went into the pockets of people who wanted to kill them out of their own country. And so when we began the Heartland Cafe, it was with the idea in mind that we would support not only the people who worked for us with a more positive than generally encountered work experience, hopefully, in the industry, but also that we as an institution would be a community center for support for groups that we supported, like OSCUA, CISPES. CISPES is Community in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. OSCUA was Organization in Solidarity People of Guatemala, and there were a number of support to Nicaragua groups that we had, you know, we basically would be the venue for benefits and other kinds of meetings for them. Very early in our career as a restaurant, we had hired, of course, as soon as we opened the restaurant, we became employers. Like a magic wand was waved over us. Because actually, prior to the day that I was a restaurateur, I was just a silly-headed youth to a lot of people in my community. Then I became a restaurateur, and I was a business person. I had weight and stature and someone to be listened to. So that's how a lot of people become owners and employers. So people came to be employed, both friends, family, neighborhood people. And Chicago is second only to Southern California in the number of immigrant Mexican population living in Chicago. That doesn't even count the long-term, long-standing, 30-year-plus Mexican community that is Chicago now. Pilsen, Little Village, numerous communities with long-standing second, third generations. Well, our first Latino employee was a man who lived a few blocks away who came in, didn't speak Spanish, but because both my partner and I did, we welcomed him, and that began a long association with his community. A phone call from a friend led us to hire the son of the first sanctuary family that settled in Chicago. Those being a family that some church group had decided to protect from prosecution, from returning to El Salvador. That started another branch of folks coming to us. Another branch was the Guatemalan branch. Sooner or later, there was at one point a group that began with the hiring of one man, Jorge Torres, that led to more or less about 20 members of the same family or extended family to be working at the Heartland over a number of years. There's a couple things to just interject here. One, you're wondering, are these people legal, and if not, why did you hire them? I never asked if they were legal. I asked if they could work, and if they wanted to work, and understanding the limits of lacking English, there are certain things they could only do. They could only do certain things if all they spoke was Spanish. Well, that soon stopped. Because we didn't have, as in most restaurants, a barrier between the front of the house and the back of the house, which means those who wait on you and greet you at the door versus those who cook and wash dishes, etc.
No había barrera.
Because there wasn't a barrier and because we spoke Spanish, things started getting mixed up fairly freely. In other words, a lot of Spanish was being spoken in the kitchen and on the floor, and English was being learned all around, and as well as Spanish by those who needed to study Spanish. So what happened was we soon had an assistant manager who was one of the members of this family. We had the head chef, one of these guys became a head chef. A number of people got involved and romantically, and really, really romantically, as opposed to a green card marriage, and got married and have big young families. Anyway, sometime after about 20 people from this one town worked there, I went and visited their town. And this was in the state of Guerrero. This is a town you would not go to unless you were looking for it. It is not on the road. You, in fact, get off your third bus away from Mexico City and you make a phone call, and the one truck comes down from the mountainside, sort of like being here, and brings you up to the town. In that town, I visited the mothers of some, and sisters and brothers and wives of some 17 guys who worked at the restaurant. It was a very moving experience for me because every home had a little bulletin board on the outdoor patio wall that was just filled with pictures from Chicago, from Rogers Park, from the Heartland Cafe. These guys also, this particular family, the Torres Mendoza family, had a number of really very good runners in it. And we're involved with Athletes United for Peace, and we sponsor 4 races a year. And they were always being won by the Mendoza Torres clan. So I started convincing them to train for marathons, so maybe give a little chance for some of the shorter distance local gringos to make a little hay. But anyway, and that resulted in about a half dozen of them running the marathon in Chicago 1 year, and a number of them, after saying this is really a stupid thing to do, a number of them continued to do that, but not all. Anyway, back to El Machito. So there was a connection to this town that was very deep, and the mixed feelings I had were when I was looking in the eyes of a mother who was probably 20 years younger than me, or 10, 20 years younger than me, whose son I had been employing for 5 years, whose son I had been trusting for 5 years, and paying as top dollar as the Heartland could afford, because her son was so good and is so good. Looking in her eyes, knowing she has raised this quality human being, and she is not going to see him that many more times in her life. She's just not. He times how many visits he can make and how many of those visits can be more than a month. And they happen so many times, so many years per visit. So for those of you who are mothers, just imagine seeing your sons, you know, 5 times between the time they're, or 4 times between the time they're 15 and 25, you know, at the same time that I'd be feeling this real guilt, really, about I get to see their sons every day and joke with them and know what their day is like and know what the ins and outs of their lives are like. And at the same time, there'd be a sister on my arm saying, and here's the house we built with the money that Javier sent back. And here's the 2 cows that we bought with the money that Jorge sent back. So I'm here to say I really do not have an ideological stand on this. The woman next to me says, sí, se vale la pena. De vez en cuando, sí. It is worth the effort sometimes. There's whole towns and villages and families and businesses and being supported by money that young people and not so young people made in El Norte. What is lost is more for you to hear from the rest of the people here. There is still a place in the U.S. that most people in the world want to come. For some people, that's home. For others, it's a place to make lives make sense nearby. And our nearest neighbors are the people that we are most affecting. There are differences between people's experiences with employers up here. And that's one thing that the people who are here representing farm workers can tell you a different story than I know anything about. But what I do know is when we were first employers of Latin American immigrants, there would be a day where someone else would come and we'd say, what's this? Where's Carlos? And they'd say that first of all, they never had employers who, for a long time, at least before 1976, who would notice a difference. You know, there was just the Jose who did the dishes. But if you have people doing jobs that are based on what they actually can do, when you find out Raimundo can do something with, you know, I won't go into it. They would do, you know, they used to send someone, if someone had a court date, they'd just quit the job. They'd never show back up again because they never had an employer who they could go to and say, I have a court date a week from now. Can I have the day off? And so it was a matter of start all over again. Whoops, I have to go to traffic court. I have to take my kid to the doctor, take myself to the doctor, especially, mostly. The end of this job, start all over again somewhere else. And the other thing is that a lot of the stories we heard from these guys was that they were ripped off by many employers. They worked weeks and weeks and weeks before they get paid, and when they finally would get paid, there was no way of pinning that employer down to the amount of money per hour that they worked. And they had, you know, we went through a lot we did little informal classes in reading the stub of the paycheck. Time to stop talking. Okay. So that's my point. Thank you. Sorry. That's my
finish
experience.
Your sentence, Katie, if you want to finish your sentence.
That's all right.
Okay.
That's good. I'll do
it. And then Barbara Lund from a more global perspective.
In our time together, my hope is that hearing the authentic voices here, that we also, something we share in common for the most part is we probably are deeply involved in a congregation or aware of a congregation and the role, the leading role of the church. And that is, I will address the Evangelical Lutheran Church, but the ecumenical relationships that we share are strong, so whatever your denomination may be. First of all, justice and advocacy. Why, as Katie mentioned, our nearest neighbors are the people affected the most. Latin America and Caribbean. The resources there coming here, the hopes, the monetary issues, it's because they're being brought here. The resources from their own countries are already here. So why not come? That's the role that in the north that we always have to address. And as for the most part, for all of us here, white flight is not the first step, but hopefully to engage in and find out what is happening in the leading role the church can have. For instance, LOGA, Lutheran Office of Governmental Affairs, handles some of the legal issues that we heard mentioned. Another one, Lutheran Immigration Refugee Service, LIRS, dealing with asylum seekers, be it economic, Bosnia, the situation there, be it political, let's say a political leader in Iran who now is out, and also religious. So that's a role the church has. And the connection, the most vital part is the congregation. The outside of, and looking at the broader global community, another resource that is very major as an entry into the United States is English. The language that is spoken and taught in most of the world. We think of English-speaking Africa. parts of Asia, continent, broad continent Asia. So that is a resource that people would come to the States holding, not just a monetary issue in mind. The other aspect that, as the global community and the church, the encounter of brain drain. The people who come and study in the States and then do not return to the countries, and because of the opportunities here, for instance, Palestine per capita of the Christian community there and the whole of the Arab community there in Palestine has some of, I believe, is still the area with the most women in the highest degrees, well educated. Where are the men? They're most likely in North America. The brain drain is an example of that. So that's something the church always holds before it, is weighing the ethical issues of that. How many of you have heard of Cancel the Debt, Jubilee 2000? What we're hearing, the word that continually comes forth is economics. We in the North and the leading role of the church, it's been strongly led by the Catholic Church. Protestant denominations are meandering in and out of embracing that. That's a significant role the church has, because it isn't the answer to everything, but it deals with the economic issues of some of the poorest countries in the world to help renew the infrastructures in those countries. Just quickly to finish up, something, since 1988, the Division for Global Mission has been working with, and now it's very strong and in place with still lots of issues to address, but it's called the South-South Strategy. And that is having, rather than North being the sender and the South being the receiver, so we create the mentality that promised land is in the North, creating, dismantling that which has been addressed in the past of that, the wrongs of that. We being the senders and having someone just waiting there as the receivers with the big economic issue, but creating so there's an exchange of the establishment of regions that share cultural, social, political, and environmental, just location-wise, the establishment of those regions. For instance, medical doctors from Madagascar serving in Papua New Guinea. Educators from Cameroon to Liberia, the exchanges of such regions, which there are now strong 20 in place that are very, very strong, and we see the difference of what we've been hearing in some of the sessions with Bob and Gracie and our friends from Honduras. Empowerment, infrastructure, and the economic reality of something shared so it isn't controlled by the North. Those are just some of the things that I think are important for us to address, as what is the leading role of Christians in what we hear, rather than flight, what's the engagement?
Thank you. Well, there's an awful lot of information and images and ideas and stories in front of you, and now it's your turn. So I wonder who would like to enter this conversation with a comment or a point or a question.
As a young person, meeting some of these young people from Central America, from Mexico, coming from the north, and interacting with them and even becoming friends with them, I struggle sometimes over what is my role in exposing them to America, showing them what is America, what I like about America, what I don't believe in, and sort of disproving some of the empty promises of America. And so I kind of have a question for Bob, Jorge, specifically, last year I became friends with a man from Honduras he was one of several interns on a farm. And I think we became really close because I spoke Spanish and could explain a lot to him. And he would ask me to do things like, Jorge, take me shopping, take me to Walmart, to Venice Drive. me preguntó, ¿puede traer más things if he was going to take back to his family in Honduras? This was a real struggle for me because
fue una lucha para mí.
I wanted him to be able to do this.
Yo quería
darle la oportunidad for him.
Podía comprar
and for things he wanted to give his family, but at the same time, I really don't believe in Walmart.
Pero a la vez yo no creo en muchas de las tiendas.
I really wasn't sure if I wanted him to be taking a radio
yo no,
and then next to
big
television. And then that drastically changed your family and drastically changed your community. And so I did take him, and he did buy these things, but I don't really know if I like
them.
So I'm wondering if anyone has any feedback
quiero saber si ustedes tienen
being in that role.
¿Cuál es el papel que quiero?
Good question, Tori.
Good question for me, who's going to be taking these guys to Walmart this week before they go back to Honduras on Thursday.
Yo no sé si ustedes quieren decir
algo.
Yeah, I don't know. I struggle greatly with that question too, but I don't think it's my role to censor or to keep people kind of in the dark about kind of all the opportunities for material goods that are available to them in this world. So I don't think it's my role to protect them. On the other hand, you know, and they're one of the reasons for them coming here is for us to we've wanted to expose them to the reality of what immigrants experience in North America is about. Not that we have you know, the complete word on the reality. But I mean, you know, they've been living in migrant camps, living and working, picking strawberries side by side with workers and getting to know families and hearing their stories, and they've gone to the jail twice a week with me for the last 2 months. You know, so they're getting that side as well. You know, I feel like my role is to show them all the stories, but to definitely show them sides that the average tourist who came to America wouldn't see. You know, and then it's up to them to make up their minds, you know.
I wonder if anybody else has a comment or a response to that question.
Estoy contando que mi trabajo es ayudar a ustedes a ver la realidad de aquí.
My comment was I would encourage him to actually follow through on what was his plan, apparently. His plan was to come and make money and provide for his family. And rather than get sidetracked, he appeared to be doing that. That to me would be a positive.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? David.
Tori, did you ever engage in conversation with him about why these things were important to his family and what he hoped to accomplish in terms of better their situation versus maybe and ask him why these things more than other things?
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations. I mean, pretty much every time that we were in transit, we would talk about it. And I would really try really help him to understand some of what was involved where he was buying things and why, and at the same time get a sense of why it was important to him, like he said. I think that it's just something that he felt would improve
success
in his family at home. And it was sort of, you know, taking the next step that they could afford a radio, they could send their son to the United States. It was a real sign of progress, I think, for him.
Mm-hmm. Rocío would like to speak.
Okay, Rocío.
Para un americano,
for an American,
es que ha tenido todo, que desde joven, desde niño ha visto televisión, que ha jugado con aparatos electrónicos, con el tiempo, ¿verdad? Van estudiando, se van dando cuenta y van tomando conciencia del daño que puede causar.
And you can see the damage of it all.
Pero una persona campesina,
a person who's a peasant,
que nunca ha tenido luz,
who's never
had light.
Suddenly light comes to the village.
Es muy difícil para ellos comprar una televisión.
It's very difficult for them to buy a television like
El año pasado uno de los hombres
wanted to bring a television back.
Y comparaba los precios.
Dice,
me puedo ahorrar tanto.
And he thought, oh, I can save this much money buying one here.
Queremos una tele en la casa.
We'd like a television in the house.
Son gente que desde chicos jamás han visto televisión.
These are people that from the littlest youngest age have never seen television, so they have a desire to be able to watch.
Nosotros ya tenemos conciencia de lo que el daño que puede causar la televisión a los hijos.
To children.
Pero ellos apenas están conociendo.
They're just beginning to learn all of us, see all of us.
Hay gente que tal vez no puede escuchar radio.
There are people that aren't, maybe aren't able to listen to radio.
Muy apreciados.
So these are very appreciated gifts, a radio.
Entonces, pónganse en esa posición.
So think about putting yourself in that place.
Yo quiero referirme a algo.
I want to say something to you.
Parece que el norteamericano es más fuerte que el latino para soportar algunas cosas.
It appears that North Americans are maybe stronger than Latinos to be able to stand up against certain things.
Quizás
withstand them.
Lo mismo que dice ella.
Maybe the same what reason she says.
El latino, el centroamericano,
Latino,
no está acostumbrado a mirar lo que aquí se mira.
We're not accustomed to seeing what you all see here.
Cuando llega acá,
when we come here,
lo absorbe el ambiente
by the environment.
Mientras que el que aquí habita,
whereas the person that lives here all the time,
es más fuerte,
is a little bit stronger.
Es una persona diferente.
The person is a little different.
Como allá no se observan tantas cosas,
like there in our country, we don't observe so many
tanta
things.
Tanta alegría,
so much joy,
cosas mejores,
better things.
Cuando él viene acá,
when that person
todo lo
comes
quiere,
in,
¿no?
They want everything.
Lo quiere.
They want everything.
Lo quiere tener en Honduras.
They want to have it in Honduras.
Y al final de cuentas,
and
gasta
finally,
su dinero en cosas que
spend
no
their money
son beneficiosas.
For things that are not of any benefit.
Barbara has a comment.
The question for us is the corporate responsibility, our responsibility, not to ask why do you want this, but how we can be working. A few years ago, we know what happened with the dismantling of the apartheid in South Africa, grassroots work. So when we don't have sweatshops in Thailand or Latin America and the Caribbean and in parts of Africa where there is an equalization of resources, this won't be the question. And that's the role of the North.
Cuando hay más igualdad en Honduras, por ejemplo,
what should be imposed on the Southern guests who have nothing?
Right, no, but that's what I'm saying. We're asking, why do they want that? We have to be asking how to create the resources equally. And
we can buy elsewhere, but to have them buy things at more price with that, it's kind of ludicrous.
Yeah, and the corporate responsibility, that language is that in one's own country there is an equalization of it, rather than we having it all here at the cheapest possible price, through the sweatshops or through workers in other fields.
One thing I have watched many, many people who are so incredibly thrifty. You know, they come up here he talks about us maybe being stronger. I don't think so. I've watched these people desire lots of things and be able to buy certain things because they've been making a little money here. And just choosing not to buy things.
Right.
You know, I mean, every single thing they see, they transfer it into Limpiras. And they think what they could do with that money in Honduras. And I see an incredible self-discipline in these people and many of the people from Mexico who I work with. Mm-hmm. Many of them are able to save huge amounts of money. I've seen people put down payments on houses,
that's
you know, $50,000 cash from working minimum wage jobs over years, you know. And, you know, whereas I don't know that many people of my contemporaries who have that kind of cash, you know, and they're making, you know, huge amounts of money per year compared to a farm worker.
Are there other voices that want to get into this conversation?
Diciendo que ustedes tienen
mucha
fuerza, tienen mucha disciplina para no gastar, aunque ustedes miren todo.
I think I feel the responsibility as a U.S. citizen, particularly one who is blessed with conversation and knowledge and relationships with people from the South. While living here, my job is to talk to them. To let them know they do not have to adopt the racism, for example, that they see around them. There's a big problem in Chicago, for example, but not only Chicago, where Latinos come and are fresh here, newly here. They get preyed upon by gangsters of whatever stripe, and they take on the prejudices or whatever of the surrounding community. And in the U.S., that's racism, and that's been color-based. And so, you know, I feel like one of my jobs is to pass on a point of view that is not particularly mainstream, unfortunately, which is, no, we do not wish to be separate from black people, brown people. We want us all together, and you know, to really fight the development of racism in that group, that new neighborhood member.
Part of the question of tonight's forum is the American dream worth it? What would you toss out as aspects of the American dream? What is the American dream? And how do you characterize that? I mean, Katie just said racism. We could say that the American dream is to be anti-racist. I mean, as Christians, we get to claim, we get to name something as a dream. It doesn't have to be that we buy into some dominant culture. I mean, we could identify the dreams of the culture, negative dreams. We could look at television. We could look at ads in glossy magazines. We could think about the pressures on us all to be consumers and to live high in the hog in some kind of way. Or we could say the American dream is the best of what Americans are about. So do you want to talk about what the American dream is at all and what people would be coming for?
We've been talking a lot about peasants and immigrants coming to get minimum wage jobs. I was going to mention all the middle class people coming, thousands and thousands coming to the United States. While it may cause a brain drain, the country they're coming from, from that perspective, they're coming for the American dream in the same way that the Irish fleeing the potato famine may have hurt Ireland, but it certainly helped those individual Irish after a couple of generations here. And so in that sense, they're coming for the American dream, and from all the many friends I know from other countries who came here as doctors and lawyers and whatnot from the South, they've been able to achieve it. They've come with the skills and training and the English language knowledge, and they've been able to buy the house or the hotel or the shop or the, you know, the green grocery or whatever. And in terms of economic terms, it has worked for them.
So I hear you saying two things, that they would make it economically, but also that they would have satisfying work, that they would be able to use their skills.
Right.
I mean, that's certainly a major part of what I think of as the American dream, is that people's gifts can flower, that they can become who they would like to become.
Empowering an individual. I mean, it's, you know, is individualism, is this something we should discourage in the world? You know, is this an American scourge? But for the people coming here as individuals with their families, they're adopting it. They're happy to have it. I mean,
I will just keep it.
No, you shouldn't want this. You know?
Well, I'd like to sort of reinforce that. I live in the Southwest. And my second job when I was in school was to make popcorn and take tickets at the Spanish language theater that held movies on the weekend for the braceros from Mexico. And at that time, 40 years ago, this same dream existed for these people, and I'm sure these people were, they came and they picked cotton, or in the spring they chopped cotton. They lived on the farms. They were under a government program, probably equivalent to the Green Card, maybe it was that at that time. And then they went home, they took their money with them. They came back. This was pretty much a legal system. And when I went to work for the railroad some years later, we had gangs from Mexico that came and worked to lay track. At that time, everything was done by hand. They laid the railroad. They would be there for usually a period of 6 months, which probably indicated a green card. then they would go back home, and then the following year they would come back and be on the game. And these were virtually 100% Mexican games. And they were, you know, there was a foreman, it was a regular annual railroad boy. And now I'm sure there are those programs, but of course there are a lot of illegal aliens. And my son was working, one of the first jobs he had, he worked with masonry outfit, laying out brick. And he was the only blonde that didn't speak Spanish on the gang.
Gringo, que no hablaba español.
And he used to get violently angry when the immigration came and they either grabbed or ran off his friends that were working on those gangs. So this has been about 15 years ago. So I think these things have been going on for a long time, and like you mentioned, the Irish or any other group that have come here. And I think these people want the same American dream that we do, whether they come here to make the money and go back, and at that time they were buying farms and ranches, and they still would like to do that. Unfortunately, we do have this terrible drug problem now that affects it. But I just wanted to kind of reinforce what he said, that it's American dream is to come and eventually own a place or business of their own.
Thank you. James.
I think we're
asked
to struggle is having grown up and having all of material goods, American dream, what possibly a lot of people coming from the South have been looking for and have never experienced. And I've kind of come through and had them and seen that it was an empty promise, or I'm still hungry for real life, joy, peace, community, things like that. Where I struggle is okay, and I can understand the draw because I felt it, especially when I was a kid.
You felt it just,
oh yeah, TV all the time. And now, like, how do we, as or how do I, as an American, try and work towards something that's really fulfilling, not something that's an empty promise? And how do I help other people who are looking for this empty promise and working toward it really hard, see that there's more fulfilling things in life? And I don't even know what they are. I'm still searching for them. And it's a little bit scary that we could, if everybody in the world were to get all of those material goods, we'd be wiped out. There'd be no rivers, no air,
no forest, buena, no bosques,
nothing real.
Yeah,
so that's difficult.
Incompatible with the earth.
Mm-hmm. One of our presenters, a couple of weeks ago, Wyvetta Bullock talked about finders, weepers, and losers, keepers. And a paraphrase of, if you seek your life, you will lose it. And
si buscamos,
if you lose your life for my sake, you will find
si
it.
Perdemos nuestro vida por Jesús,
I think what I see is incredible amount of isolation and loneliness among people in North America, and I think goes hand in hand with pursuit of wealth and
buscando dinero,
property,
and
loss of community.
And the television is the sort of image for that, which is that you're isolated, you and a box.
Isolado, pero uno tiene su caja.
And
aislado.
So it takes you out of community, it gives you bad values, it can, and it's probably bad for the earth because of stuff about technology. Mark?
First, I wanted to make a comment. in the Native American community, we also, in a sense, are in the road of looking at, in a sense, the like an American dream. And one of the things that I have worked in our different Native Northwest communities is to gain the education and the knowledge to be able to work and go back to our tribes and to our nations, to be able to help our individual tribes and our individual nations be self-sufficient and be able to help our individual families and our individual tribes. I would like to ask our different people on the panel, are there people in their community coming and going to places to gain education and to being able to take it back to their country and be able to help and their own communities and our country?
Gente que están preparándose en otros países para de su comunidad que vuelve a su comunidad para ser. Hay gente que está preparándose para después volver a servir a su comunidad.
Sí, en la comunidad que yo trabajo.
In the community where I work.
De una sola familia.
From one family.
Se han venido cinco.
Five have come.
Hermanos.
Five brothers have come.
Y puedo decir que con éxito.
And they've had success.
El sueño de ellos se ha cumplido. Llegar a Norteamérica.
Was to come to North America.
Y si ha podido ver el cambio de vida.
I've seen the change of life.
En sus padres.
In the parents.
Porque esa familia tiene 13 hijos.
Because this family has 13 children.
Todos ellos están vivos.
All of them are alive.
Y ellos envían dinero de acá.
And they're sent, they receive money that's sent.
Y hoy tienen una cantidad como de unas 15 a 20.
Now they have 15, 20.
Cabezas de ganado.
Head of cow, cattle.
Su sistema de vida ha mejorado.
The system of life has improved.
Le mandaron a hacer una casa nueva a los padres.
They built a brand new house.
Y lo que decía Rocío es una gran realidad.
And what Rocío says is
gente
true.
Que nunca había visto televisión.
People that had never seen television.
Y aquí lo estaba, le mandaron televisión, equipo de sonido y cuántas otras cosas. Y hemos visto de que esa gente está haciendo economía.
We're seeing that people are saving their money.
Cuando escriben dicen que no se van de aquí hasta que tengan un fondo bueno en su país.
They're encouraged to not leave the United States until they have a good nest egg back in their country.
En una de las presentaciones nuestras de los hondureños, alguien me hacía una pregunta.
Someone asked me a question.
Que cuál es mi posición como maestro.
What is my position as a teacher?
¿Qué clase pertenezco?
In what social class am I? High or medium?
Y algo que miren. En Honduras un campesino gana $2 de 7 a 4 de la tarde.
7 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon.
Un maestro gana $200 en un mes.
In 1 month.
Y tal vez con 4 hijos.
Maybe
yo tengo 4 hijos.
I have 4 children.
Los 4 hijos están estudiando.
4 children are studying.
Y a veces duele el alma.
It hurts my heart sometimes.
Me dice papi, si paso el grado y saco buenas calificaciones, me daría una bicicleta.
If I get qualified, if I pass my to the next grade,
y a veces yo tengo que pensarlo. Lo haré un esfuerzo, hijo.
I will make an effort.
Y él saca las buenas calificaciones, papi, aquí están las calificaciones.
And he shows me the good grades.
¿Y la bicicleta?
And the bicycle.
No hay nada.
And there's nothing. I'm not able to.
Papi, ahora que va a los Estados, nos va a traer un televisor a todos.
Daddy, now that you're going to the United States, you're going to bring a television back.
Y cosa increíble. Los hemos estado ahí trabajando en Sakuma.
Here I am working for Sakuma.
Y es una poquitera lo que hemos ganado.
And it's a little bit of money we've made.
Entonces nosotros, en conclusión, no aconsejaríamos a nadie de que se venga acá para los Estados Unidos sabiendo la realidad de que el que no llega solo va al fracaso. Y aquí
doesn't make it here,
hay gente
fails,
que no puede regresar a su país, como dije anteriormente, porque no ganan para poder ganar para el pasaje.
To be for the travel expenses.
Yo les voy a decir una cosa.
I want to tell you one thing.
Yo, la gente no viene aquí a estudiar.
The people don't come here to study.
La gente que yo conozco no
viene aquí a estudiar.
De hecho, Yo tuve la oportunidad de ir a la universidad.
I had the opportunity to go to the university.
Y yo temo que si yo me quedo en los Estados Unidos y no tengo un buen empleo.
And I fear that if I stay in the United States and I don't have a good employment.
Mi hija no va a ir a la universidad.
My daughter will never go to the university.
Mi hija quiere estudiar ahorita.
My daughter
tiene 13
wants to
años.
Study. She's 13 years old.
Quiere estudiar veterinaria.
She wants to be a veterinarian.
¿Se imagina?
Can you imagine that? Imagine how much that costs here in the United States,
esa carrera,
this career.
En Veracruz,
in Veracruz,
es más fácil.
It's much easier.
O sea, la gente que viene aquí
the
no viene a prepararse,
here, come to
a educarse,
to educate themselves,
para ir a ayudar
to go back and help their
la gente
people.
Que quiere ayudar a su gente
people
se
that,
queda estudiando.
That want to help their people, they stay in their own country and study.
Lo que es el estado de Veracruz
What's
es
in,
sumamente barata la educación. Muy barata.
In the state of Veracruz, education is very inexpensive.
Tengo un hermano que,
I have a brother
que acaba de presentar su examen profesional,
who just finished
el doctorado.
His doctorate.
Tengo una hermana que está
en
Riverside, California,
in Riverside, California,
terminando su
just
doctorado.
Just finishing her doctorate.
Ella piensa regresar a México,
she
pero
she's planning going back to the United States, but
si le ofrecen un buen trabajo
if they offer
acá,
a good job here,
se queda.
She'll stay.
O sea, para que la gente venga a estudiar aquí, ya viene
study,
a un nivel sumamente superior.
They already come from at a very high level of a social class.
Personas que vienen, mucha gente piensa, ay no, que aquí va la escuela,
many people
que
think,
sabe que,
think
que
that, oh, here
aprende
the schools
inglés.
Are so good, they can learn English. And
es un sueño.
This is a dream.
Porque a lo único que llegan a México es a servir como intérpretes en un hotel.
The only thing they can do if they go back to Mexico being bilingual is to serve as interpreters in some hotel.
Para un buen trabajo se exigen estudios superiores.
For somebody who is bilingual who wants a good employment in Mexico, they have to have superior education.
Los que vienen a estudiar aquí, los que han estudiado aquí, tienen que volver a estudiar o revalidar materias
and go back to study in Mexico again.
En el sistema educativo.
In the Mexican education system.
Entonces, eso es al nivel de que estamos hablando a nivel de los de campesinos.
At the level of peasants and farm workers. There's nothing. No, it's not
possible.
Quiero anexar un poquito antes de dar la palabra. Lo que ha dicho Angelita.
I want to add one thing before.
Es una realidad.
What she's saying is reality.
Por ejemplo, este año, una de la hija que ha estado grave, mal de salud.
My daughter, who's been very sick.
Se gradúa este año de contador público.
She's graduating this year as a public accountant.
Ella dice que no se quiere quedar ahí.
She says she doesn't want to stay
estudiar
there.
Ingeniería industrial.
She wants to study industrial
pero es una carrera muy cara.
This is a very expensive career.
Que no está al alcance.
This is not something that I'm able to accomplish.
Porque mensualmente hay que pagar por lo muy menos de 100 a $200.
Between $100 and $200 a month, I have to pay, and I only make $200 a month. And the rest of my family?
Difícilmente se puede preparar una persona
for me to
así.
Be able to prepare my daughter
tenga
that
la capacidad intelectual,
maybe she has intellectual ability, but she lacks the resources.
El dinero
the
para
money,
mí,
for me,
es un medio de la
is
vida,
a means of life,
pero
no life
todo
but
la
it's
vida.
Not everything in life.
Pero es esencial.
But it's essential.
Yes. I struggle sometimes with the wording we use. Like we always talk about from Mexico or from the United States, and yet it almost seems healthier to refer to the haves and the have-nots.
It's difícil para mí hablar de los
in the United States, there are a number of poor people also.
Mejor decir los que tienen y los que no tienen.
From other countries, people whose grandparents were born in the United States, are still poor and still want the American dream, and still give up stuff to have it, still struggle with drugs. And at the same time, in Mexico, there are people driving around in SUVs, very wealthy people. There's some idea that you can get it in the United States, maybe TV is good enough. And I believe we perpetuate that with the words we use when we always talk about the American dream.
Tener cuidado
rather than just a greed and a desire to have
avaricia,
more.
Y el deseo de tener más.
And try to get out of the mindset that we are all rich in this
no
rich
pensar que todos
we
somos
are a rich
nation.
But there are
rica.
It was built on the back of a lot of poor people who still work
sobre las los hombros de gente muy pobre.
As Victoria alluded to, we just cannot keep up this lifestyle.
No podemos seguir esta vida que tenemos.
And also how the poor people
y también tener pobres.
Have stuff because the earth can't support it.
Una de las cosas que a mí me han asombrado siempre
one of the things that's always surprised
desde que
me,
estoy
always,
aquí en los Estados
Unidos
es que la mayor parte de los jóvenes
young people,
tratan de alcanzar la high school.
They try to finish high school.
Y muchos jóvenes se quedan ahí en la high school
many,
porque no tienen dinero para seguir estudiando.
Many stay, don't finish high school because they don't have money. To continue after this.
Me da mucha tristeza
makes
porque
me really sad.
Son personas que ¿cómo es posible? Americanos
people, here they are Americans,
no puedan seguir
and they're not able to continue studying.
Yo le digo a mi hija,
I tell
¿tú
my
te
daughter,
quieres quedar así con la high school?
Do you want to stay there with
y ser
high school?
Una empleadita
and
como ella.
An employee like that girl?
Es lo que a mí me asombra.
This is what surprises
me. Asombra que,
surprises me.
¿Cómo es posible que jóvenes se queden solo
stay
con la high school?
Only with high school here.
Y es lo único que siento que a veces ambicionan, llegar a la high school.
And this is what the only ambition that they might have is to finish, graduate from high school. Mm-hmm.
Es la culpa de
Ron.
Adultos en sus
vidas. In listening to the, I'm sure, heartfelt comments of the people,
escuchando a
los
comentarios de corazón de la gente.
It sounds a bit paternalistic coming from our mouths.
Parece como
to say, we have had it,
nosotros
we have tried it,
hemos tenido,
we have done too much,
probado.
Let's not
nosotros
let them have it.
Muchas cosas. No debemos permitir
how can
que
we
ellos
deny
tengan.
Someone else the same rights that
los
we have
derechos que tenemos nosotros.
And maybe squandered and maybe abused,
quizás hemos abusado
but how can we not
¿cómo
let
podemos nosotros
someone else
negar?
Try and work harder, earn a little more and help
no
their family?
Dejar.
Yeah. If we are feeling guilty about how we have acted,
culpa, yo,
I'm not sure we should put it off on the backs of other people. Maybe we should instruct them as to our struggles. Maybe we should make sure we talk about the things we had to give up as far as community and family life.
Quizás debemos
hablar
de qué es lo que hemos
sacrificado.
Quizás hemos sacrificado buen tiempo con los niños, los trabajos que hemos
hecho.
Pero no debemos hacernos sentir bien pensando que estamos ayudando
a los niños.
Por lo que hemos estado
aquí. Es más una pregunta que es una
respuesta. ¿Alguien quiere comentar en eso?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard several people say, we have not done a good job. Look at what we have had to give up to get our materialism.
No hemos hecho
we feel bad when
no,
we help someone buy a TV or buy a radio. Don't they know what this is going to do to their lifestyle? And I'm saying, well,
isn't it their choice?
We should warn them, we should talk to them, that if we're feeling bad about our lifestyle, do not prohibit someone else
no
from bettering their
no
family.
Let's back to Tori's question, I think. And Tori has his hand up again, so let's let him.
In response to that, I think there's a lot of different things that are going on. And one of them, from my point of view, is you know, I hear a lot of these stories, and the common denominator is. The American dream has something to do with money.
El sueño americano
and
tiene algo que ver con
dinero. With following that, and I think part of what I feel responsible for is dispelling some of the illusion.
Yo pienso
and,
que hay que,
at least hay being a perspective and a voice that is part of what is influencing
de
them when they experience America, and that
ayudarlos que están
that is not where it's at. That's not the goal.
And
I want you to at least think about. What I have found and experienced that is more important beyond that, give them a sense of something that really is the American dream, some of these deeper things that we've talked about. And so it's not just, no, you can't have this because I had it and that's not
it.
But it's really more of this has really shown me that there's much beyond
that.
And I would want you to experience that. And if I can help them in any way to realize some of the mistakes that I have made through greed and pursuit of things that that have led me astray.
Y eso es bueno que la gente aprenda de mis errores.
Well, I'm gonna let Tori have had the last word because it's late and we're tired and this is a complicated and thorny set of issues that we're talking about.
It's time for some of us people to wake up anyway.
But
go to bed.
But it's 10 o'clock and so we're gonna end. But I wanna thank our panelists and thank the members of the gathering here for all of your serious thought about this and your wisdom that you've shared. Thank you very much to all of you, and we will hope that this is a comma in the conversation and that the conversation will continue tomorrow over coffee.
Well, tomorrow we have a session at 10:45 on the struggles and difficulties of people in the North and how the churches can actually do ministry and minister to immigrants.
Mm. And so do you have a session tomorrow? Mm. Oh, you leave. Okay.
You're welcome to come to that too.
So there's another way the conversation will continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Good night.